Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Diabetes is very much on the rise. More than 100 million Americans have diabetes or pre-diabetes, according to the Centers for Disease Control. If current trends continue, the CDC estimates that 1 in 3 Americans could have diabetes by 2050. Well, we're used to thinking about diabetes as being 2 types, but now researchers are suggesting that maybe diabetes should be divided into 5 different types. To explain, we're joined, as we are most Mondays, by Carrie Goldberg, who's host of WBUR's Common Health. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Deb.
So 5 types of diabetes.
Yes. So this is research done mainly in Sweden on more than 14,000 patients over age 18. And it's just out in a journal called The Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. And actually, what caught my eye was a headline in The Guardian newspaper about it. And it said, 5 categories for adult diabetes, not just type 1 and type 2, study shows. And I had the same reaction, like, what? 5? 5 types? But what it's mainly about is dividing type 2 diabetes, which is by far the more common one, into clusters of patients. So one group might have mild diabetes that's mainly related to age. One might be a mild type mainly related to obesity. And then there are 2 severe types, almost more like type 1.
Well, let's just remind folks of type 1 and type 2 to begin with.
Okay, so here are the basics. So diabetes is a condition where you have high levels of glucose in your blood. So lots of people call it the sugar, right? Remember, my aunt used to say my uncle had the sugar. And it's because your body can't properly process and use sugar. It can't properly turn the food that you eat into energy. And diabetes can cause a lot of serious complications. It's the 7th leading cause of death in the United States. And it's basically a problem of insulin. So insulin is the hormone that you need to help get the glucose from your food into your cells. And in type 1 diabetes, your own immune system mistakenly destroys the cells in your pancreas, the beta cells that make insulin. So you have to get insulin by injecting it because your body isn't making it anymore at all. And type 1 tends to occur in children and young adults, but it can definitely occur in older people too.
And type 2?
And type 2 is the vast majority of cases. It's something like 90%. And it means your body doesn't make enough insulin or it doesn't use insulin well. Type 2 is linked to obesity and inactivity, among other things, and it can respond to lifestyle changes and pills, unlike type 1, but it can also reach the point that you have to inject insulin.
So why is this actually more complicated by splitting it into maybe 5 types?
Right, like why isn't 1 and 2 enough, right? And so, you know, it might not make sense for the general public because plenty of us have trouble remembering the difference between 1 and 2 as it is, unless we're affected by diabetes somehow. But this new study suggests that the 5 categories could be really helpful for doctors because it could help guide the treatments that they recommend. So I spoke with Dr. C. Ronald Kahn. He's the chief academic officer at the Joslin Diabetes Center here in Boston. And he says, first of all, this study is a good reminder that diabetes includes a real mixture of types, even within the classification of type 2 diabetes.
It does impact on how you think about treating diabetes in different groups of people, and whether you think you can get by with only diet or diet and exercise or maybe a simple oral medication, or whether you realize that the person is going to need more heavy-duty type of medication, injectable medications.
And injectable medications would be either insulin itself or medication that stimulates insulin.
But don't doctors do this already?
Yeah, so, I mean, Dr. Kahn says yes, to some extent they decide how to treat patients based on their type of diabetes. But he says many doctors who treat patients with diabetes don't measure all the dimensions that were looked at in this study. So this Swedish study looked at some easy and common elements like age of diagnosis, body mass index, that's how much you weigh, basically, hemoglobin A1C, that's a measure of how well your diabetes is controlled. But the study also looked at 3 things that are not so routine, like antibodies that are linked to the autoimmune kind of diabetes, and a couple of other measures of insulin. One is a hormone called C-peptide. And Dr. Kahn says he's a fan of those extra measurements because they do help you know what to expect. And he hopes maybe this Swedish article could help change clinical practice here in the U.S.
In some ways, we sometimes focus on being so cost-effective that we eliminate tests that are useful, but you can't necessarily prove that they're quite as cost-effective. For example, the C-peptide measurement. In their study, they showed that it does help predict who's going to need different levels of treatment, and if you know that in advance, then you can be ahead of the game instead of playing catch-up ball later.
So, Carrie, what exactly are the five types of diabetes that this suggests?
So in very rough terms, and this is all in adults, you've still got type 1 diabetes, which is the autoimmune form. Then within type 2, you've got two severe forms of diabetes. One actually looks a lot like type 1. It's pretty early onset. You're not particularly overweight, but it doesn't have those antibodies that are signs of the autoimmune diabetes. And then there's one that's a severe form of insulin resistance diabetes that is linked to obesity.
And then two more mild forms.
Right. One mild form that's more linked to obesity and one mild form that's more linked to age, to being older. So basically, this research was looking at clusters, and it suggests that the treatments could be tailored better as we gain more understanding of the subtypes.
All right. Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to the Lancet paper and the Guardian article at our website, radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.